It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of UGA Sports Live. We are out here at Champy's, as always. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to go ahead and start sending in your questions. We're here on the 11 Alive Sports page, as always. And it's good to be back kind of in our regular spot. We took a little break last week because of the media days and wanted to get things right there. So good to be back on at our normal time. Coach, good to see you. As
glad
always,
to be here. Glad to have Patrick here.
Patrick back this second week. Yeah,
coming out
absolutely.
Of the bullpen, he's a saver.
Roddy's still on vacation. Who knows when he's coming back? I guess if I could be gone for 3 weeks, I might do the same thing. But such is life.
I heard he's going to make it by the South Carolina game.
And you're in charge, Jake.
Yeah. So, right.
Be stuck in traffic in Cairo.
Like I said, make sure you guys are sending in your questions. We'll get to as many of those as we can today.
Tell us about these sponsors, man. You did a good job last week.
Yeah, we do have a ton of sponsors we want to shout out, and we'll get to a little bit more personal touch with all of them later on in the show. But definitely want to shout out Your Pie, one of our great sponsors. Go by, swing by, get some gelato, get some pizza. They got all the great beer on tap, too, definitely get out there. Academia, speaking of great beer, they're one of our big sponsors, one of our good friends. Get by their brew pub. They've got some loyalty rewards going on right now. Plus, they have always got cool stuff going on at the brew pub. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Athens Ford, one of our big sponsors, both on the site and here on the podcast. The best deals in town, Georgia fans, all of them, and the only Ford dealership in Athens. So make sure you get by to see them. We got Robert Wall at Cable East. Who's a good friend of ours. You can't go buy anything from him, but shout out Robert Wall because he's a solid dude. And
does
a great job with his sponsorship and plays pretty good golf from what I hear. 365 game day, season, 39 days away? Is that right?
You did 39.
Yeah, 39 days away today. So make sure you got your new gear and get loaded up with all of that. We will
– Brett Milliken, 39.
There you go. We'll be we've been counting down the days, so yeah, we're getting real close, and you definitely want to make sure you've got all your stuff. Also, as always, Champy's. Thanks to them for having us out here. We appreciate them. Gonna have some good chicken here, I think, when we get off the air before we make a little run down to see some recruiting. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit later, though.
You going to be there live tonight?
Yeah, I will be there live
what
tonight.
What are you wasting your time for? Sure thing, man. No, I'm glad y'all are going to be there. That'll be great. But we predicted that last week, didn't we?
We did. We did. We sure did. And we'll talk about Trayvon Walker today where we think things will head tonight. Will be interesting to see. As I said, make sure you get over to UGASports.com. We'll have all your coverage there.
You guys going wheels up, or are you going to drive?
I wish we could get the Kirby copter. That would be that'd be helpful. But now we're going
to. What do you think? You take about 4 hours to get there, huh?
Round trip, yeah. It'll take about two each way. So.
Oh, really? That's right, Tom's.
Yeah.
My bad.
All right.
But anyhow, one thing I wanted to start out right off the bat here today, and then we'll get into stuff, is, last year, Roddy and you both asked me to do a little bit of this with the show, and my main reason for doing it is to back Kirby. You know, I'm a big Kirby supporter, and things were kind of up in the air going into the season last year, and I want to make sure that everybody realized everything I could do to support him. And last week, you know, every year at this time, I'm on the Paul Feinbaum show. I'm on there every year. It's kick off the season and then a couple of times during the season. And we're doing some basic stuff. And then he asked me about the thing about Jeremy Pruitt, about Murray saying that. And I basically just said what I, had said on this show. But I just want to clarify one thing. I don't know what happened with Coach Pruitt and Coach Rick. I've only been to one practice since I left here. before Kirby got here. You know what I mean? I never was over there at all. Mike Bobo asked me, so I don't know what went on. But I do know that I had some interactions with Coach Pruitt off the field talking about recruiting and specifically about Roquan Smith, about who could help in that area and things like that. And we talked about the wishbone and things like that with that Bobo wanted me to work with him on. But I don't know what he did or what he didn't do. But the reason that I talked to Coach Fulmer about him was because I had called up Coach Fulmer about Mel Tucker to recommend Mel Tucker. And I had a good visit with him on that. And then in the parting, he said, hey, what do you think about Jeremy Pruitt? And I told him, hey, what I know about him, he did a good job. And, you know, I'd recommend him. And that was it. And so anybody that thinks that I'm calling up Coach Fulmer to recommend people and all that, you know, it doesn't really matter to me except the fact I want to get credit for what I do and discredit for what I don't. I can't do anything about what happened 20 years ago when I'm the coach. And, hey, let's don't bring up that. Let's don't bring up all the stuff that happened to me personally, which I was totally vindicated about, but these people continue to bring it up.
Yeah, sure.
But my point is I'm on here to have fun and enjoy being on here, and as long as I have fun and do that and get critiqued about George and all that, that's great. But I don't need to be critiqued about me talking to Phil Fulmer about Jeremy Pruitt when I was calling up about, you know, to do what I could. I like Jeremy Pruitt. I think he'll do a good job. I don't know what happened here, so don't put me in with that. So that's basically the deal.
Sure.
There, that's how that happened, and I hope everybody understands that. But I hope also that let's talk about more about the positives, and there's no reason to relive the past about a lot of things, in my opinion. Okay,
I agree. No, totally. I did have one question for you on the Pruitt thing, though. and this really has nothing to do with all the drama surrounding it, because there was plenty of talk about that. But one of the subjects that people talked a lot about, I think, coming off of that media day and coming off of some of these discussions, was what Jeremy Pruitt did to kind of get the ball rolling in the direction that they are headed now.
No question. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, and Kirby will bring that up. Practice schedule, nutrition, weight room. He's the one that came up with the idea of bringing the team over here and not staying over 45 minutes from here and spending all that time on a bus going back and forth. You know, a lot of different things that when you bring a new coach in, it's always good to have new ideas, you know. And Coach Rick was very supportive of that. And, hey, I'm a big Mark Rick fan. Did a tremendous job here. And what I wanted to make sure of in talking to you and Patrick about it is that I didn't want anybody to get the feeling that by talking to Coach Fulmer about in a passing remark about Jeremy Pruitt that I was anti-Mark Rick.
Oh, which, sure.
You
sure.
know, Coach Rick will tell you, I mean – I've been very supportive of him, and he did a terrific job here. What happened there? But I do feel like he did lay some groundwork, and some people were sensitive about some of the critiques he made. But, hey, that's the way it is. But the guy had been to the dance, man. He'd been at Alabama. He'd been at Florida State. He saw what they were doing. And, hey, proof's in the pudding. Look at some of the guys he recruited. I guarantee you. Look at those guys that are playing for us now and got drafted last year. I mean, he's a solid coach, and you know what Aaron Murray and David said about him, that's their opinion, you know. But
sure.
Far as I'm concerned, that's history there. But
yeah.
Hey, I'm from Kirby Smart. That's why I'm on this show here, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I do got a question, you know, considering that he was a coordinator, and besides, you know, turning around this defense. I mentioned last week how, I mean, let's face it, 2013 was terrible. But, Coach, is it fairly uncommon for a coordinator to come into, especially a program as big as Georgia, and be that influential? And, I mean, just based on
– I think it was a couple of things there. The first year with Bobo here, who had a really big input with Coach Rick, it was, you know, kind of back and forth between those two. And, you know, Coach Rick delegated very well. But then when Schottenheimer came in and the way things were going the other way, I think maybe – there's a tendency to maybe somebody take the bull by the horns. I don't know exactly what happened there because I wasn't privy to it, but you make a good point there. But there's a lot of coordinators all around the country that have you know, especially the coaches that coach the offense or the defense, you know, they really count on that guy on the other side doing a lot. And I just think when you look at the staff that Jeremy accumulated, he accumulated a lot of his guys that he brought in, like Shearer and Rocker and, you know, just one after the other. And also Rob Sale, he helped get him. But, hey, good luck to Tennessee. They got a long way to go. Let's go, Dawgs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be quite
an – See where I'm coming from.
Oh, absolutely. No, no doubt about it. And I think that, yeah, it's interesting to me that this stuff is just now starting to crop back up now that he's got the head position at Tennessee. You would have thought it would have happened a little sooner, but, you know, I guess whatever moves the needle. So moving on from Jeremy Pruitt, I did want to talk going into tonight. UGASports.com will be out at Trayvon Walker's commitment ceremony over in Thomaston, Georgia, Upson Lee High School. You can follow along. We'll be streaming live over at Facebook, facebook.com/UGASports.com. And if you spell that out, that's how you get to it. So
What's
make sure
time?
You swing by. I believe it's going down about 6:45.
Yeah, 6:45.
So be tuning in right around there. We'll probably start running our stream somewhere around 6:30. They'll be getting everything up and running.
That'll be awesome.
Feelings, I know we talked about it last week. We predicted it. You still feeling James Brown on it, Coach?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I mean, you know, I've missed some of them in the past. I mean, I really thought we had Papo, but that was early. But then as it continued and listening to you, we, you know, things didn't work out. But I would say that you know, he's going to have to go ahead and say it. But, you know, I don't want to put out on the internet anything, hey, Jim Donnan said he's coming. Hey, I don't need any of that. I just feel good about him. I feel we've done a terrific job recruiting him. And what an outstanding player, too. I mean, the guy could probably play basketball at a high level, you know, and you really like those kind of athletes playing in the defensive line. So very energetic kid, too, and very outgoing, and he'll fit in real well here. But, you know, the one thing that I also pointed out here, that I don't want to – my memory's going bad here, but I can't really think of any team that between the end of practice and the first day of fall camp, except pro teams, that have elevated their team like we have with Hayes and Robertson.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, come on, man.
Sure.
Yeah.
And hopefully Robertson's going to be eligible. But, I mean, you get two guys like that to supplement a team, and then you bring in the freshman on top of it. Then, you know, we got some holes that got to come through with the inexperience and all that, but – boy, you talk about pennies from heaven. That was I don't think anybody has any idea how much those two guys can impact our team.
Oh, no question about it. I think Robertson definitely the more known commodity, but Jay Hayes is somebody that you've been very high on, what he brings to this team. I think at a time of need for that defensive line, great to add that depth. You know, I do want to touch on a few things, though, on Walker before we move on from him.
Give us the inside, man.
I wanted to ask you, Coach, one word that has been tossed around a lot with Trayvon Walker, and I wanted you to speak to this. Do you believe that there's such a thing in the recruiting world as a lock, a guy who is no matter what, he's coming, it's you could about do anything, you could flip it, or have you seen it go the other way too many times?
You know, most of the time the locks are pretty much locked, you know what I mean? There's been some times when it just completely changed. But, you know, the thing that we got going for us right now, and we've talked about it, the people that watch and listen to our show every week, is just there's a reason sometimes when you're not doing great to leave and go somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But now, if you grew up wanting to come to Georgia, there's no reason not to come. I mean, everything's here. Everything's in place. The staff, the everything. So – it makes it easier for a guy that wants to come here to come here because you've limited the unknowns.
Patrick, what do you think's gonna happen tonight
With Walker?
Yeah.
Oh, I think. I mean, just from what I've heard, I think he's definitely a bulldog. I tell you, and Coach touched on his. I mean, he is. I think he's considered at least, you know, no more. certainly in the top 100 basketball players in the state as well. But his to be 270 pounds and what's he like 6'5"?
Yeah, roughly 6'4", 6'5".
You know, runs a 4.4, 4.5, something like that. His athleticism is just.
He runs that fast?
I think so.
He's real fast.
Yeah, and carrying that weight. And,
I don't think I've ever seen a D lineman run 4.4, but I hope that that's true. But
I'll tell you who can is Nolan Smith. He's outside linebacker,
well,
technically.
I know, but
yeah,
was one thing I was getting ready to jack up on. Nolan Smith's the number one guy in the country, supposedly, but rated by some people. And now you got this guy, these two guys in one class, and then you add Hazelwood and Blaylock and these other guys. I mean, everybody's been worried about when's Georgia getting ready to make a move. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're putting it on G, getting on O right now, right?
I agree, yeah.
And, you know, and I think a lot of people, and I was this way, too, before I got in recruiting, I think they see, wait, Georgia only has 2 5-stars commit. You know, what they don't look at is guys like Trayvon and Blaylock, you know, at least according to Rivals, they are high 4-stars and – how this thing works. Currently, Rivals only has 21 five-star players for the 19 class. And although even if this class is down, you got to think there's eventually they're going to be more added, maybe some. And
well, we had 9 5-stars in this last class, right? The one that was rated number one.
Sure.
Yep.
All right. And you add Hayes to me, who's 5-star now, the way he's playing, and Robertson, that's 11.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's half of your recruiting class or so-called 5-star can't-miss players. And that's just really tremendous. And the other thing that's going to happen, there's going to be some attrition with every school, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think we're probably going to be able to take more than 20 this year. I really do.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see exactly how it goes down. I think, Patrick, if you'll reach over there on my board and bump those sliders up for me, those first three. Yeah, there you go, right there. All right, yeah, I think that's a little bit better.
We lose the internet or something?
There we go. No, we're good. We're good.
We're good?
All right, yeah, I think we should be a little bit better there. No, I think it's a situation where, you know, these guys are going to be the recruiting is speaking for itself. I think that, you know, that what has been done and is going to be done over the next course of this week, which we should talk about the upcoming weekend here in a moment, and we'll definitely get to that, is
people that have seen the facility just said it makes you it is jaw dropping.
Yeah, the photos I've seen are stunning of the interior, and so I think it's going to be a huge sell for the kids this weekend, definitely. But with Trayvon Walker, here's my one point, and Coach, you can disagree with me, and I get a feeling that you might.
Uh-oh.
I am not – Trayvon is a huge pickup for Georgia. I'm not that impressed by the pickup, because I think he's a guy that they should have gotten no matter what, no matter who was coaching the team, no matter how they were doing. This was a kid – this is an in-state kid who grew up a Georgia fan who, you know – you see where I'm going with this? It's a –
That's true. You know, you got to get the guys – you got to get the ones that you should get, that's for sure. And that's the difference, though. We're doing that. I mean
– Yes.
You should get Justin Fields.
That's right.
But we almost didn't get him
because
of a lot of reasons. But because Kirby turned the tide, the guy wanted to come to Georgia. His sister wanted to come to Georgia. You know what I mean? So I think that's good. And we philosophically, we're in good shape with those guys. Getting back to what I said, where the only problem with that is you got to turn down some guys that are going other places.
Sure.
Because – there are just so many good players in the state. I mean, every time somebody goes somewhere else, I either text you or one of the coaches, and I said, we go after that guy. What's the deal?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And a lot of times we were a little lukewarm on them, and I could see why. But, you know, more times than not, we haven't lost many guys at this point, whereas last year Cox was up in the air, Fields was up in the air, you know, Anderson was going. You know, we had a lot of guys that had – that we turned around, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you make that point, and I do think it's a I think it's a great point to say, you know, this is a different look where you're taking top players in the state and in some cases having to say, sorry, we can't take you this go round. A guy who sticks out to me like that is Zion Puckett, a guy out of Spalding High School. He's a Rivals 250 guy, tremendous athlete, great receiver, just kind of a do-it-all guy, but not exactly a guy who's going to be able to find his way in the class because he doesn't address the need like some of these other guys do, and he's not as high on the board. In any other class, I think that you know, a guy like Zion Puckett's a lock for the class. I think that you would take him day in and day out, but that just shows you the difference in what's going on in this recruiting.
Well, you know, Georgia nowadays they don't lose the shoulds anymore. You know, where it's eye opening if they do. You know, but several years ago, you could tell us there were several shoulds, maybe per class, at least a few. That went elsewhere.
Absolutely.
So, Coach said about Kirby turning the tide. I mean, that's what's going on. So, yeah. It's a different day.
Hey, we didn't even talk about McClendon. Hey, most weeks we'd already be opening up with getting Warren McClendon. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, Dancing Bear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got him coming in along with Truss, and then you got that kid from Tennessee last week who I think's – you know, he just turned 17.
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm. He's just a pup.
Well, and you know, we were talking about it this week. If you haven't been over to UGASports.com, get over and check out. I had an update yesterday with four-star Rivals 250 offensive lineman Will Putnam out of Plant High School down in Florida. And he basically said, you know, Georgia thinks that I'm a bit of a utility player, a bit of a go-between. I can play a number of different spots.
I like that.
I was going to say, given what they brought in these past two classes, how important or how do you think bringing in some utility players can benefit some guys who have some time to kind of figure out where they fit best behind this incredible depth?
Well, I think the main thing there is you want to play your best five and then get your next guy on the field. If he's the sixth player, if he can play guard, center, and tackle, you're ready to go with that guy. So I think
which white line?
We got some really good utility guys right now, like in Salyer and Hill. They could both play guard, could both play center, and both of them have really done well in the off-season program. And then you got these mammoth tackles already, like, that are already here. And then I just think that's been the real trend for Coach Pittman is to get these agile guys that can move their feet but still big guys too. And but I really think more than likely we can't take more than one offensive lineman now, can we?
No, I think that it's only one more guy is as much as you would take. Somebody did posit the other day on the board. I will say that the one scenario I could see going differently than that, someone said, would we take Darnell Wright, the number one offensive tackle, and maybe Clay Webb, the number one center?
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd figure out how to work that out.
Yeah, you always have your must. You put guys up at the top that are must that you would take no matter what. And then, but you don't want to take a guy that's in between and turn down somebody that on a position of need. By that, I mean take another old lineman when you need another defensive end or linebacker or whatever it might be. But the overwhelming thing to me about our defense right now is the amount of really good DN linebackers. Stud type guys we got, just really big, strong, physical guys, and then we're so good there that we've taken Quay Walker and looking him inside right now, because you got Anderson and Cox are two freshmen right there on the edge behind guy like Devontae Beal. Walker.
Yeah,
I mean, then you got Alargy. I mean, Alargy is a good looking kid now. I mean, thick. Can run, and he's coming off surgery and all, but then Grant, I mean, we don't even talk a lot about him. We need to. He's a player.
Yeah, I mean, he was, to me, one of the most impactful defensive freshmen of the year last year. To come in behind guys like Bellamy and Carter and to step in there, I mean, he was in there on some key plays.
He makes plays, and he's good on special teams, and then Monty Rice, we can't say enough about his leadership and what he's doing. And I heard Kirby say something, too, on these reports that he was, on these different TV things, and he was talking about the athleticism we have in the secondary hopefully can overcome the inexperience, because we did lose three guys that played a lot of snaps. There's no question about that. But we got some very athletic guys that can turn their hips and can play the different coverages and do all that. And the one final thing I would say, we talked about on one of our first shows last year that the one thing that I felt like our defense was going to be able to do is apply more pressure because they could run more packages with the experience they had. The first year they were really just feeling their way, you know, and learning everything. Now this year we might cut back a little bit, but be maybe a little bit more athletic, maybe not be as multiple in our looks. But, you know, a confused player is a guy that has trouble.
Absolutely.
But if you go out there expecting to do well and you're not worried about making a mistake and just said, hey, I'm going to play this cover too, or I'm going to play this guy man, and I'm not worried about all the checks. I mean, it's amazing how good you can play.
All right. We got a great question here. I want to roll into something on the depth chart here in a minute, but I do want to take this question from Ronnie Brown because I think it's a very interesting one, not something that we've been asked before. He says, Coach Donnan, UGA's done a great job of keeping Kirby Smart's original staff together for the most part. How hard is it as a head coach to keep your staff together, and what are some of the biggest factors that contribute to being successful in that area?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, you know, you want to bring in guys that surround your philosophy. You know, you surround yourself with these guys, and Kirby's able to pick and choose starting from scratch. You know, he brought his whole staff in. And he has been able to keep it intact for the most part. You know, he had to switch some responsibilities, but to keep Coley here. But I think as we continue to prosper, then there's going to be the same kind of situation that happens at Alabama and Ohio State and these places where people are going to look for coaches like Tucker and, you know, Coach Miller, Coach McGee, I mean. And not to mention, there's a lot of them can be head coaches. But the point is, the biggest thing keeping coaches is create a morale base where you do everything you can for them financially, give them good, you know, facilities to work with and all that. And then let them do their job and create a – there's nothing like, to me, when you go take a job – and we bust Roddy and all that all the time. But
sure,
the number one thing is, who's your boss?
Absolutely.
If you feel good about going to work every day and, you know, you know what you're supposed to do, and if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to get credit for it. And if you don't, you're probably going to get your butt jumped. But that's the way it should be. But I think that's the way Kirby is. He's the boss. But guys feel good about being here with him, you know, because he lets them do their job. And, I mean, he's definitely in charge. There's no question about that. But the basic number one thing to answer Ronnie is create a morale base, delegate, articulate the method that you want, and then let them coach it up.
All right. So before we jump into this next question I've got for you guys, I do want to touch on some of our sponsors. Shout out to Athens Ford, big, big sponsor, like I said, of the show and of the site. Make sure you swing out there and see them. They got some great specials running. The 2018 Focus, brand new, $13,999 or 0% APR for 60 months, qualified buyers. You can swing out and get the Fusion. That's $18,999. Also, the APR deal applies there as well. And $14,000 off the F-150. So go out and check them out. Tell them we sent you out, and they'll be sure to let us know that you shared the love with them. Also, don't forget, they have the lifetime powertrain warranty. That's the only place in town you're going to find that. Big supporters of the Dogs, big Georgia fans themselves. So support the businesses that support us and support the Dogs. Big shout-out to Athens Ford. We love those guys. All right, I got to ask this question yesterday, and Patrick, I'm going to start with you, and then we'll go to Coach.
Okay.
I got to ask this question by Chuck Oliver yesterday, and he said, you know, with Robertson entering, how do you see this wide receiver depth chart kind of shaking out this fall?
Well, you know, I think before he came with
assuming he's able to go, of course.
I think with you already knew it was Godwin, Hardman, and Riley Ridley is, I mean, at least going into fall camp.
Sure.
And then kind of everyone behind them, although there's potential, there's talent. Yeah, I think Akil Crumpton could make an impact. But there's I guess there's not they're all going to be fighting, you would think, for second, third slot. You then bring in Robertson, and You know, I mean, it kind of it doesn't necessarily change those guys, but all of a sudden, and I'm not saying Georgia's all of a sudden going to have to bench one of those guys necessarily, but it totally changes things. I mean, you could even see, and Coach would know this better than any of us, but you could even see maybe, I mean, not the offense obviously changing, but maybe a different, you know, whether it's a few added plays or something. I mean, he is a five-star recruit that did really well at Cal. So it's as far as the receivers shaking out, I think it's for Georgia, it's going to shake out in a good way, I guess.
Absolutely.
But I think if anything, there may be more. Who's not going to play?
Right.
Now, you know.
Exactly. And that's Coach. How do you kind of see Robertson fitting into this depth chart?
Well, you always. Everybody thinks grass is greener, and you start talking about a guy that's not here more than the ones that are here. But I think for sure we know so much about him because we recruited him so hard, and he had success at Cal. But getting to the base here is you got to figure out what kind of personnel you're going to use. You know, are you going to use three receivers and one tight end? Are you going to use two tight ends and two receivers, which is very prevalent with guys like Nauta and Werner, who can really do a lot of things and also are very capable of going in motion and being a lead blocker and doing stuff like that to create the counter plays that Swift's so good at. So a lot of it has to do with our running game is how's that going to focus? Mm-hmm. Where's the focus going to be there on how much you use these receivers, you know? But the thing that he can do on his own, from what I've seen of him, he's capable of lining up on the weak side one-on-one and being somebody you got to really account for with somebody over the top. I mean, you just can't line up and play this guy one-on-one. And last year we proved with Wims over there that we were capable of throwing a back shoulder fade to him and throwing a lot of routes one-on-one. This kid doesn't have the size of Wims, but he's got the breathtaking speed to run by people. And then a lot of times I think because Terry's here, people take for granted, but he's spectacular on a lot of plays. Some of the catches he makes, but, you know, he's never been the real focus since Chaney's been here because of some other things. But I think we can focus on him and Ridley a little more. And then the other thing is Hardman is just, you know, he's got so much going for him with the not a natural receiver that it's really – migrated into being a better receiver, you know, because it's hard to learn how to use your hands and do stuff like that. I'm talking from a coach's standpoint, but so he's really evolved into being a receiver to go with his skill set. Okay, so I really think his improvement's going to be monumental from last year to this year. So we got good, you know, we got four guys that I just talked about right there that can play for anybody, and then you got Holloman coming up and Landers and Bush and Stanley. I mean, we got plenty of guys there that can come in and sub and help on the blocking and all that. But you know, we're not rated because of we don't have all the stats that some of these teams and the teams that lost games usually have more receivers catching passes like Ole Miss and although their receiving core is good, but, you know, they rank Ole Miss and Missouri and all their receivers in the top echelon. But I think ours is going to be really good. I don't think it's any weakness whatsoever. They're physically tough. I've been impressed with the job Hankton's done coaching these guys. He's brought some new ideas in, which we talked about, and that's going to be a strength on our team, I think.
I think people
big play.
I agree. I think people are underrating the Georgia wide receiver core. I think that they've been stacking up some talent in the last couple classes. The addition of Robertson, as you mentioned. For me, the one guy that I kind of see kind of in the cusp of, you know, start versus, you know, right there at top of the second string, I got to think Riley Ridley's that guy who's going to be maybe the odd man out in the top three.
Well, he proved what he can do in the big game when you had to have him, you know. You know, he's challenging his brother and all that, but
sure,
he went out there and did it. But the thing that I would say on this site here is I think Ridley, Hardman, Robertson, and Terry could go in any place in the league and play for any of these teams and find a role for any of these teams. And that's what you want.
Absolutely.
So I would say that. Same thing with Nauta and Werner. And I tell you, Luke Ford's going to be a force too.
No, absolutely. I think once once Big Ford gets going, it's going to be quite spectacular. Speaking of spectacular, get out to Academia. Go check them out. You can catch them downtown Athens at Cutter's Pub. They got local pint night, draft specials on Mondays from all the local breweries. So hop in there. Go see those guys. They also have a beer dinner coming up tomorrow. July 25th at the Falls Restaurant, Southern Brewing and Academia teaming up on that one. $65 a ticket to get in the door there. White Rabbit Collective playing on Thursday night. Swing by and see them.
A lot of action.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for those of you, and I know that there are plenty of you, who aren't able to get out here and go hang out at Academia, go see them. They've got a couple Atlanta events coming up. On Thursday, they're going to do Bowl and Brew at Comet Lanes in Decatur starting at 6 p.m. And then Friday, you can swing by my friend's Growler Shop in Decatur. That's starting around 5. They'll have about a dozen on tap, light, dark, hoppy, fruity, fructosums, which are the fruited sours. So make sure you swing by. Get out there. I'm sure they would love to see you, and you can get your hands on some great beer.
Hey, can I say something real quick about the receiving core?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and you mentioned Hankton, the first-year coach at Georgia. You know, as Jake will tell you, a lot of times with these kids, these 2019, 2020 kids, when you're interviewing them and you're trying to find out, you know, which coach talked to you, whatnot, your position coach, a lot of times you have to, you know, what do you like about coach XYZ? What I've heard from receivers in the 19 and 20 class, when they offer up information about Coach Hankton, how you know, they just love him and they really respect the fact that he played in the NFL. That's something that struck me in talking with a lot of these receiving prospects. And I think that goes to show that it's Georgia has so many assistants who are known as great recruiters, you know, from Coley, Pittman, et cetera. I think Georgia's going to has another, you know, it may take a year or so,
sure.
but these
kids
are already.
I think he's got to get the feel for, you know, these guys are in the fold there. I mean, we had those two guys, but I really feel like Kirby made that move thinking ahead of, hey, this guy's got a pro background, just like Tucker with the defensive backs. I mean, there's a lot to be said. Hey, I played in the league. I've coached in the league.
Yep.
And these guys are looking to go there. And you make a good point. I think, and I said before you even said that I've been impressed with Hankton on the field, his on-the-field knowledge. There's a lot of things that you can watch a guy coach and see the give and take that they have with the players. And usually yellers and screamers don't really get my attention much because I didn't like to be yelled at. And I just feel like
– And you still don't, right?
There's a quiet confidence between our receivers and him. You know, when he corrects them, they know that they need the correction. But he's not telling them, watch your coverage, watch your da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, a guy that coaches like that is insecure to me because – Hey, once you get out there on the field, that's why you have the meetings. Let them play because they're not going to be telling them something during the game. I mean,
absolutely.
So, but I really am impressed with the fact that Kirby showed the foresight to look around and get a guy that can amplify our team like he did, bringing him in. And the same thing with Fountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Fountain's got a good rapport with the kickers, and he, you know, they got really good confidence and you know, our special teams made tremendous strides last year, and I certainly Coach Beamer was involved, but I really think getting Fountain here really helped, you know, from Auburn. And then Kirby really put a big plus on it himself with all he does with it. But what else we got here?
Well, speaking of putting a big plus on it, this weekend the Dogs will be hoping to put a big plus on it. Huge recruiting weekend for the Bulldogs. The locker room reveal, as we were talking about, facilities upgrade, the locker room, the recruiting center. You know, I think it's going to be just by all accounts, it's spectacular, and should be quite an event. If you haven't been over to UGASports.com, go check out. We got the visitors list up.
That's good, man. That's impressive. Yeah. Y'all can get
who we're expecting to see there. And then I did a breakdown yesterday of the 5 most important visits. Now I will give away one of those. Number one on that list, in my opinion, is Jermaine Johnson. Outside linebacker, junior college.
We talked about him last week.
Yeah, at Independence Community College. If you've been watching Last Chance U, you might have caught him on there once or twice. Patrick, I know that you've been kind of diving into the film on this guy and having a look at him. What could Georgia add in a guy like Jermaine Johnson?
A guy from the state of Minnesota, for one. No, yeah. No, but that, I tell you that real quick about him, his background, you know, that's what's kind of unusual about him. You know, he's from Minnesota, and apparently, for whatever reason it was, had, I think, no offers.
That is correct.
And plays for Independence. And now, I guess after one season, he's considered, if not the top, one of the top JUCO players. Here's what it would be if he ultimately decided on Georgia. You would have the top high school edge rusher coming in and Nolan Smith, and then the top JUCO player who could edge rush. But no, he's for one thing, he's big. He's what, 260 something, 6 foot six, and quick enough. I mean, the film that you asked about film, he can track speedy backs like behind
it's a good league too. I mean, I'm telling you now that that Kansas JUCO league is really good. We recruited when I was at Oklahoma and Missouri, and you can always supplement your team with a player there that can jump in there. And
I think it's getting, over the last, even since I started covering recruiting 5 years ago, I've seen that league go all, I mean, just take off. The level of talent that they're getting from guys going through transfers or guys trying to get another start or something like that. These are really competitive, really impressive teams loaded with familiar names.
But can I ask you, are all those players that are shining, let's say at an Independence and whatnot, I mean, wouldn't you say most, if not all, were coming out of high school, were at least getting offers from?
Yeah, I think
from,
just didn't have the grades. Usually, that's the thing. Sure. They just can't make it academically. But I tell you, somebody's coming this weekend, and I think is really stronger than Ajax for us that we need to get is Max Johnson, 2020 quarterback, really outstanding player, good kid. We talk about the 19 class for sure, but this is a 2-for-1 situation as far as I'm concerned this weekend. Here's the way I look at it. Number one, you get all these guys here and they bond and everything, but number two, they're not anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
After this weekend, these kids are going to be practicing. They're not going to be able to do anything as far as going to anybody's campus unless they live there in that town and go watch somebody practice. So you really get two birds with one stone when you get the most, because everybody's trying to get them in this weekend. I'm sure the guys you talk to, some of them probably going to Clemson or Alabama or whatever it might be. But if we can have a guy here, just the fact he's here sends a pretty good symbol, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I can go anywhere, but I'm going to go to Georgia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And especially it being, essentially that last time. You know, it's almost like this is where I'm maybe leaning,
Yeah, it's what you want. It's their – I mean, realistically, it's the last chance for these kids to get a visit in, probably prior to an official visit or coming up for a game. So there's not a lot of hanging around left to do. There's not a lot of, I'll just drive up to Georgia on a Wednesday. No, they got team practice now. So this is a major weekend. There's no doubt about it.
Jake, if you'll come up here this weekend, I'll let you pick out your locker.
There you go. See, that's why
you can pick out the first locker, and we'll work it out. And that'll be your locker.
It sounds like he's done this before.
Now let me throw this one at you, Coach. That obviously not speaking.
And that'll be your car in the parking lot.
you're obviously not speaking for the team in this regard. But with the guys that are coming up, who would be that guy that you would walk over to first and say, "Hey, buddy, you get first dibs on picking out the locker"?
I don't know. I don't want to pick out anybody there, but I do think there's a lot to be said about, what we got back to on when we were talking about guys that want to come to Georgia. It's like anything. When you go, somebody buys a new pair of shoes or you get a new suit, you can't wait to go out and let everybody see it. Well, the same thing is going to be true. These kids are going to come up here this weekend, and they can't wait to go back home and say, look, hey, I'm going to Georgia. I'm really considering Georgia. Boy, you can't believe what they got up there. I went around that place. I saw that indoor facility. I saw that these coaches made me feel good and all that. And I'm telling you, it's just like it really spreads out. And it's just and I always talk to a kid, there's not one thing that's going to make the difference between you going someplace and another. It's that overall feeling about how you felt when you got there and the experience when you were there, as compared to as soon as you got there, you're looking, well, hey, when can I get out of here? You know, I know. And that happens sometimes. I mean, yeah. You can see some of those kids just by their body language because they're already going somewhere else, but you talk them into coming in for a visit and say, give us a shot. But you can see it. I mean, you can see it when you talk to them, can't you?
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah. No question about it. I mean, you definitely get the feel for it. I did want to shout out also one of our other sponsors. That's Your Pie. As we mentioned, it is summer, so get out, get the peach and prosciutto pie. They got the balsamic drizzle on it. I tell everybody the cheese sticks are the best in town. I don't know why it's so hard to find a good cheese stick in Athens, but Your Pie knocks it out of the park. They got three locations in Athens.
Are there different kinds of cheese sticks or just one?
Well, there's good and bad.
No, I'm talking about the flavors. When you say the variety, but I know you can pick out your stuff to make the
absolutely.
Pie. But
absolutely.
I tell you one thing, they got good service in that place too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you walk in most places, you got a feel for whether it's a Willie off the pickle boat or a really good place. And that Your Pie, when you go in there, you feel good, don't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you feel even better when you leave full of pizza.
Exactly. And cheese sticks.
That's right. We did have a great question here from our good friend Chuck Ward. Chuck wants to know, he says, Coach, how much impact do you think having former UGA and NFL players like Jonas Jennings, Fernando Velasco, Bakari Rambo, Sean Chappas, Travaris Tillman around the program and around the facilities, how much impact do you think that has on recruits to see guys who were part of this that are now back home?
Yeah, I think it's tremendous. And as Kirby saw that impact when he was at Alabama. You know, they bring a lot of their older players back and actually they become student coaches, you know, the guys that haven't graduated and all that. And he's done the same thing here. But these guys are in prominent roles either as GAs or like Jonas, whatever his title is, you know, day-to-day working with these guys. And I think, you know, basically to me, tremendous impact because – they can tell you, hey, look, man, you know, you think you're good enough to go to the league, you better get your ass in gear because I played up there and there's guys up there just like you, but they got a better attitude. Or, you know, hey, you need to work harder. Or, sure. You know, or, hey, you keep working. Or you say to them, you keep working like this, man, you're going to go to the league. And a lot of people don't know about you, but I've been up there. I've seen it. You got that kind of ability. Or you just say to the guy, look, hey, this should be your goal. Play for Georgia and look what you can do when you graduate from this school. And I know they're getting ready to have that deal where they meet with all those CFOs and all and talk about Georgia. But those guys are invaluable. There's no question about it. And speaking of invaluable, we just lost Ted White to the University of Virginia as an academic counselor who's assistant AD for academics, done a tremendous job here under Coach Rick and Coach Smart, and Carla Williams, was a deputy AD here, has moved up as an AD at Virginia, and he's going up there with her. And, you know, we'll have to get somebody to come in that understands the nuances of being an athlete here at Georgia, the demands that are involved, but I'm sure we'll get a good one. But I want to give a shout-out to Ted White. I thought he did a terrific job behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
You know, the NFL thing, you know, that's what kids want to do. I mean, I think even – Jermaine Johnson has made it known that he's one and done. I mean, if he – whichever school he comes to, it's just going to be –
he's planning on getting out.
Yeah. And, which it's like, all right. But if – you know, I'm sure George can use you for a year. But that's what they want to – that's what kids want to do. So if they come to practice or – I mean, gosh, even the national title game, there was probably at least a dozen former Georgia players turned NFL players on the sideline. That's got to – influence these kids because that's what they want to do.
I completely agree. And I think, though, that having the option away from that to know that, hey, once that's over, we'll help you find a
role. What are you going to be with your life after that?
Right. You know, you can't tie everything up in being a football player. Right. That's going to be over quick. You're going to – basically the first third of your life – that's it. So now you got two-thirds left. What are you going to do with it? I think that, you know, the opportunities they've given these guys, I think, are very, very promising.
And the one thing that we'll bring out, going back to what we said about kids wanting to go to Georgia, you also hit them with, hey, if you weren't going to play football, where would you like to go to school? Where would you be comfortable with your friends and associates? And we got an overwhelming advantage there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. And I think that's what's benefiting you with a lot of these in-state kids. You know, I think that could see that benefit you tonight. I don't know. But
we'll find out.
Yeah,
6:45.
Yeah. Well, if we don't get him tonight, it's your fault.
I will be blamed. Everybody just get in line. That's always how it goes. Jeff Dyer here with an interesting question. He says, what's the feeling with John Emery now that he's committed to being in Athens this weekend? John Emery, one of the top running backs in the nation, top five, mm-hmm. I believe, Rivals 100 player out of the state of Louisiana, Destrehan High School, a guy that I think has a claim as the best back in the nation. Trey Sanders is right there with him.
Good player.
But I think that that Emery is a special player. Does sound like Mississippi State, which has long been involved, is right there as well. LSU making a big push, and that's always going to be tough when you've got these Louisiana kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They are tough to beat on the kids.
I think LSU right now, and I think Patrick could maybe allude to this for us too, is in a situation a lot like we were last year. You know, from a standpoint, people are going to say, hey, can they win on the level that LSU has won? And, you know, it's still got to be proven that LSU is back under Coach O. So that's why you keep working these kids hard, because there's enough of them that are going to leave the state if all of a sudden they don't do as well as they need to. So we're in a good position if it's between us and LSU. I remember we had Jamie Henderson. I can't remember his last name. He was a receiver. It wasn't Jamie Henderson. He played corner. But the guy that caught the pass against Kentucky that ended up playing a lot of times for New Orleans Saints, but Devery Henderson. And we had him locked up, and then they fired the coach, and Nick got the job, and they turned it around and got him at the last second. But, you know, that's what what Kirby's smart. I mean, he's working these areas like that, and we got McGee on him. I like our shot. I mean, anybody McGee's recruiting, I like our chances.
Yeah, yeah. You and you mentioned Coach. You mentioned, you know, the power of the G a lot when you talk about getting out there. I think that LSU logo, that tiger eye, that's another one that's about as strong as anything in the state.
It is. Those people. Those kids love to
live and die by it.
Yeah.
That there's no state, I don't think, that keeps
their
talent like LSU. I think I figured one time out there, let's say it was 21 five-star players since 2002. I think all but three wound up going. I mean, something unbelievable.
Kirby went in there and got Collins.
That's true.
Kirby recruited him and got him for Alabama, and then I remember his mother really being mad when he signed.
Like
but that was a heck of a job. But hey, we went in and got Demetric Evans, mm-hmm. turned out to be a heck of a player for us. But I just believe that we got a shot on Evans, and the other thing that helps you is when you see Sony Michelle signing a contract today, Chubb giving away some helmets to his high school. You know, these are great ambassadors, and we're sending that stuff out on social media to all these kids. They're seeing two top running backs in the top 32 played at Georgia, and
the guy taking over for them getting some preseason Heisman
votes. Right. I mean, they're talking about this kid. He only played in 10 plays in the last two games.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be interesting to see. Definitely make sure you get over to UGASports.com. We'll get you covered on all of that. We are going to wrap up for the day because we need to get a little grub.
Just tell me what time you're coming on tonight.
I'll be on. I'll probably be on about 6:30 tonight. So
well, give me a shout out. Now, I'm going to be at the volleyball game out at North Oconee. We're having a big little jamboree out there, five or six teams playing for a long time. But I'm going to be waiting to hear that.
And all right.
I want you to hit me with a text and say yay or nay. And if you say nay, don't come back next week.
Definitely want to shout out all of our sponsors, Champies, for having us here every week, letting us come in and mess up the whole restaurant. Definitely want to shout out Your Pie. Great food out there. Go see those guys. Gelato, cheese sticks, beer, everything you want. Speaking of beer, Get out to Academia. They've got everything you want on tap. Some of the best brew you're going to get anywhere. Great food out there at the brew pub, I should mention as well. Athens Ford, a huge supporter of UGASports.com and UGA Sports Live, so make sure you go see them. Tell them we sent you. Big supporters of the Bulldogs as well. Cable East and Robert Wall, 365 game day, and I think that's about it. So make sure you're with us next Tuesday, the triumphant return, supposedly, of Roddy Nabulsi. We'll see if he's back. Patrick, thank you for sitting in with us.
Yeah, Patrick, you've been stronger than Ajax, man. We'll appreciate
to, yeah, we'll have to have you back.
Hey, if Roddy doesn't show up next week, I'll pop in,
come
maybe.
On, come on. I love it. But make sure you tune in next week. Hopefully we'll be talking some commit news. We'll definitely be recapping everything from the reveal weekend. And so there'll be plenty to follow up on. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thanks to 11 Live for having us on the show.
Go vote today. Go vote.
Go vote. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks
so much. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night.
's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.